Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hi, I'm Tane.
And I'm Aide, and this is Altar Call, a Married at First Sight podcast.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to MAF Season 17, Episode 23. Hi, Aide.
Hello, how are you?
I am stressed because, y'all, if you know what it has taken for us to get this episode out, hopefully it's out. If you're listening to this, then it worked. But there's a lot going on, so we apologize in advance if the audio is not right because there's a lot of technical issues and we tried our best.
Yeah, but we did. If not this, then nothing.
Yes.
In terms of an episode.
Yes. All right, Aide. Anything to share? Any updates you want to share with the people?
Well, you guys, I know it doesn't seem this way, but this season is coming to an end. And while we are on break from getting new Married at First Sight episodes, please let us know what you would like us to do, what shows you are interested in. I mean, let your imagination run wild. Because I remember a while back, someone was like, can you please do House Hunters on Patreon? And we did. So whatever show you're watching, whatever form of media you're consuming, and you want us to talk about it, now is your chance to get your suggestion in. Message us, send us an email, whatever, send it by carrier pigeon. However you want to get it to us, just let us know what you would like us to do. So, Tane, what's going on with all the previous season people?
All right, so we have like 2 weeks, so some news might be kind of old. But Nate from Chicago proposed to his girlfriend. Y'all might remember they've been together for some time now, and I think they have a kid together, but he just proposed, so congratulations to him. Amber from the Charlotte season is pregnant. I think she is in Japan with a husband. I feel like everybody's in Japan.
Was she engaged recently?
Honestly, I can't remember. I don't know if she's married.
I should have known that she was engaged recently. Yeah. So good for her that she is now pregnant.
Yeah. This is really like really random. I remember looking at Kirsten's from Nashville season's stories, and she went to a bachelor party for someone named Hannah Ann, and it didn't click until I was looking at the pictures and I was like, this looks really familiar. But Hannah Ann is from Bachelor Nation, so there's a MAFS Bachelor Nation crossover that I didn't expect. And for those that watch or don't watch, Hannah Ann is from Pilot Pete's season. And I just found that really interesting.
Do you think that that is a relationship that existed prior to reality TV or after?
Prior. Like, I find that, again, I think it's a weird thing when reality show people go on a show and all of a sudden their best friends are just the people that they met. I might have mentioned this on the show before, that they met on the show. This is very popular with the Love Island challenge people. They meet people and then the only people they hang out with are the people they just met on the show, and they call each other besties. And I'm like, where are all the people you've known for many, many, many years? And I get it. They needed to be relevant. But MAFS is so unique. Like, honestly, MAFS has its own DNA. I don't see a lot of MAFS people mingling with other reality people. And even when they do these shows with people from other reality shows, or they're never from MAFS.
That is true, because they're probably some of the most normal people to come on reality TV. But even like the natural synergy, like, you know, they should really, the Love is Blind, Married at First Sight connection, they have the same production company. You would think that they would be more like hanging outy. I will say, to your point about people posting and being besties, I've said it before, I'll say it again. They don't post when they're hanging out with people who are not on TV, because no one cares when they're hanging out with those people. They get engagement when they post about hanging out with other reality TV people. So I don't think that that what they're posting is hopefully not reflective of their actual social life. It's their social media life.
Yes, which is why I was like, I understand that they're doing it for engagement. But honestly, like, even when they come back on shows, they're like besties. Besties, like, they move in together with each other, like, they live together and things like that. So I don't know, I just always find it strange. Not to say you can't bond with people, but looks like Karen from the New Orleans season is starting a podcast. It is called Sis and Giggles, which I think is such a clever name, and I think it's just going to be talking about everything under the sun, really. And if I'm wrong, someone will correct me, but yes, I don't know if it's started or premiered yet, but I saw this a while back.
Okay.
Things took a turn. This is not really an update. I saw this on MASH fan page, but I didn't know that people went to the extent of saying, of trying to get Claire fired from her job. Because they're calling her a shit starer and saying that she caused her brother's death.
Oh, guys, wow.
Aid has said this many, many, many times. Like, no matter what your thoughts are, yes, we talk about, you know, the show and the people on there, but it is never, ever, ever that serious to go this far for people you do not know to say such heinous things about them. Like, bringing her brother's death into it, trying to get someone fired from their means of living, that's extreme.
Very, very extreme.
Yeah. I think it's so bad because, like, even whenever Emily posts anything, she blurs out Claire's, like, handle, because I think people are just being really cruel about it.
That's very random. I think the random part to me is, why Claire over any other woman on the show? Or is Claire just the one we're hearing? Like, are people trying to get Emily fired too?
No, but I think I understand the Claire stuff, because it's basically people thinking that, and I think I'll speak for myself, I think I've said it also on the show, like, she has her hands, like, anytime something comes up, granted, we apparently don't have the full story and we're being manipulated by the editing, but from what we see, it's a lot of, you know, revisionist history and that all that. But regardless, I don't think there's anything that she has done or said or anything that warrants to that level. But I think people think that, I guess.
I really do think that people, anyway, I think people just decide to hate people and then they find reasons why later. Like, I think someone who has an issue with women or something will then glom onto a Claire for an exercise, to exercise their outlet for hatred.
It's ridiculous. I don't even have the energy to go look up where someone works and then try to find HR. That's a lot of work. This is a question for you, Aid. Someone had asked if Chloe in the comments, sorry, I forget who, but someone asked if Chloe and Michael had a shorter time period in the entire process. I know they were later, but do you know, because I don't know, I can't keep up with how long or whatever, but do you know if they had shorter than 8 weeks?
I don't know for sure, but I highly suspect, because they didn't spend a lot of time referencing the term 8 weeks in the later episodes. I don't know. If we ever get to interview either one of them, that will be one of my questions.
Yeah. Okay. And finally, Shauna, hi, sent in kind of like a question, curious about what we think about them announcing the new cast this week while the Denver dumpster is still on fire and people are so burnt out on the show because of this horrendous season, and give us a minute before you throw the new season into our face and don't expect us to embrace it. I mean, my first thought was like, I don't know that it was an official release per se, but
it's just our good friend Mass Fan getting her scoop, right?
Yes, but Shauna also thinks that it might be like a leak, like to drum up buzz. And honestly, with Hollywood and entertainment, nothing is beyond anything, but we don't know. But, you know, I will say this. We had a chance to look at the couples. I was trying to avoid it, but it was right there. So I was like, give in. And there is a Nigerian couple.
I was like, okay, first off, on one hand, I'm like, oh, there's a Nigerian couple, I'm in. But the truth is, I'm not really out with Mavs until Mavs decides it's out with me. I'm like, I'm ready all the time. I'm like, okay, we got new couples. There is always hope that there will be a winner, okay? And so I am always ready for a new season so I can actually feel hope again.
It is the hope that kills. But, I mean, it's exciting. And I'm hoping to God that they didn't just match them because they're both Nigerian. And I'm hoping they do have things in common. But someone in the comments already mentioned that this guy used to live in Houston and they're not sure when he moved. I'm like, oh my God, that is not a good sign. Anybody like, from Houston? Let us
activate the network to find out who we know who knows him. That's what I was thinking.
I mean, it's going to pop up at some point. I checked with my people. No one knows him. But I just, you know, once you mentioned Houston and dating, not a good thing together. But we'll see what happens. Someone did point out by saying like, hey, Kwame tried out for DC and he's happily married now in a different state. So you never know. So I'm like, you know what? Point made. So, yeah, I'm very excited for Chicago. We don't know when it's coming out, but all the rest of the couples look interesting too. My friend did point out to me, like, you always say there hasn't been good Nigerian representation lately. So maybe this is going to be the good ones. And I was like, one can only hope. I hope so.
I want to see Nigerian parents being told about Married at First Sight so badly. So badly. I can't wait.
You know. The people now are lucky because they have, like, the new wave of parents. Remember, I forget his name from Love is Blind, Raven's person?
SK.
SK. I mean, they took it well. And we've had, like, a number of, like, different Nigerians and other shows. And I think everyone's just accepting that this is the norm now. Like, these kids are crazy. What are we going to do?
I get that. But I just can't imagine that if there's two of them, and this is Love is Blind, I need a nice dramatic Nigerian parent reaction to this. Okay. I need someone to cry out to Jesus. Like, sorry.
Well, we will find out what you think about that. All right. This looks like another filler episode because, quite frankly, the story on this season has wrapped. But I guess we'll go to commercial and get into it, right?
Right.
Life doesn't happen biweekly, so why should payday? The money you make can be in your hands today with EarnIn. EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck, then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Summer is coming and it is time for all of us to go on vacation. You can use the money you earn from EarnIn to buy a new bathing suit or some new clothes for your fun summer vacation.
Download EarnIn today, spelled EARNIN, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in AltaCall on the podcast. When you sign up, it'll really help the show. That's AltaCall on the podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, Member FDIC.
All right, guys. This is it. Well, this is kind of it because there's two tell-alls after it. But this is technically the last season, the last decision day. Last week, I did watch that episode. It was rough. I mean, I saw someone in the comments say, y'all picked the best time to not do an episode because it was terrible. Yeah, so I watched it and I was like, this person, they had a point. So, and this, honestly, this episode wasn't much better. But let's do it. Unless you have thoughts.
No, I have no thoughts.
Okay, you have thoughts. You're just waiting to share them. Okay. So we have 4 days until decision day, they tell us. And Chloe meets up with her friend Oscar. I just called him Oscar. That man's name is Cesar. he is very happy to see her. And I'm like, has it really been that long? I swear I saw you guys meet up like 2 weeks ago. They have a conversation. It's very difficult to understand what it is Michael and Chloe are saying at any given time. They get a lot of credit for being well-spoken, but this episode, I'm like, but I still don't know what you're saying. I don't know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So she tells him that they're in a mysterious place, and she references the scene where she woke up and he was there and he wanted to talk, and he just started bringing in things about being uncertain. And he asks if Michael will say no, and she's like, yes. And he's like, shocked. He's like, but you wouldn't have said that 2 weeks ago. What happened? And she's like, he's scared. And he asks about her, and she's scared too. And he just, Michael didn't see it coming that he would be too scared to be married. She says that while it's hard to imagine life without him, at the same time, she doesn't know if they're meant to be, and she's never been so torn in her entire life.
It's such a weird place to be in because even I don't know how to feel. I feel like I felt like not knowing where Chloe stood, and then now seeing her be the person that seems to be more into it, I didn't know what to do with that feeling.
I think the part that is confusing and will be confusing till the end of the episode is that whether Michael is the classiest guy alive or whatever, we just don't know why he... Like, he never said there's something about her. He's just saying, like, I don't want to be married. It has nothing to do with you.
Yes, which to your point where you say, like, they're so well-spoken, but honestly, in the well-spokenness, there's nothing being said. That's also hard for us to comprehend when you were dumped once. You waxed poetic about wanting to be married so bad. You got a person who seemingly... fits what you were looking for, and you seemed all in, and all of a sudden, you're not ready for marriage? That's, you told us you worked on everything, you were ready, you were at that point in your life. So how are we not supposed to think it was something about her?
If it was something about her, I'm only in admiration. Good job, dude. Anyway, sorry, we'll get to basically their final decision, but let's go back to that last group of people who we actually never want to see again. Not because they're that bad, just because their story is done. The story is done.
I can't believe they forced them to do a meetup. I truly cannot believe it.
I mean, they tried to force them to do a meetup, and then key figures didn't show up. You know, Austin is like, you know, he's nervous about this. Becca is like, you know I need to let him go. Emily's talking about, I want to go out on a good note and not dwell on the past. Okay. Chloe and Michael are forced there against their will. Michael is wearing a sweater, very, very large oversized sweater that says kiss the floor. Austin comes in and says he's the last to arrive, which is a bit of a shock because you're like, but where is everybody? Apparently Claire has to work. Orion
Who has to have therapy at night, Aid?
Who said that? Emily?
I can't remember. It's been so long.
I think it was
But
Emily.
I was like, good like, question.
It's one of those healthcare things that people do tend to do after working hours, not during. Yeah, it actually makes sense that someone needs to have therapy after work, you ding-dong. Not you, Emily.
But it was nighttime. You know, I don't know. I think it was an excuse, honestly.
Okay, I have a good friend who was a LCSW, so she was a therapist. And yeah, sometimes she had clients at 7 o'clock at night because that's when it worked for them.
Oh, no. I'm not saying that's not feasible. I'm saying in this particular situation, I don't think, I think she was just like, why, after Pizzagate, all the things, he's not picking up the calls. What, why am I here?
Yes. But at least Cameron didn't show up either.
Yes.
So if they both don't show up, fine. Brennan had softball.
Now that's an excuse.
Emily says there's so much to catch up on. I'm like, I feel like it's been 4 days since you people saw each other. So no, I don't really believe there's so much to catch up on. Austin asks Chloe and Michael if they're still together. And they say yes, but like with absolutely no enthusiasm. And Lauren is like, oh, that's a valid question. And Michael's like, oh, we have a handful of days. And Emily can't believe their decision day is so close. Michael says that they've had challenging moments, but he's glad he got to face those moments with Chloe. And it's hard to imagine navigating any of this without her. Chloe says that their challenges have been beautiful and he's always willing to talk and he's very engaged. Chloe asks about Becca and Austin said they've been texting each other. It's been good. And Becca is like, well, seeing Austin is hard because she loves him, but she knows they're not supposed to be together. And Emily's sitting next to her and it's her shoulder to cry on. Apparently, Lauren has been sending inspirational texts and books to everybody. And they thank her for that. The women. She's been sending that to the women. I don't think she's been sending that to the men. So Orion starts talking, and we all wish he wouldn't. And he says he holds her in very high regard. She's smart. She's beautiful. They're lucky to have her. And then she says that she's checked out because she's tired of waiting for the follow-through with Orion.
Sorry, I just wanted to say how this man is so annoying because without fail, I think before he jumped in, somebody, what you said, Emily was singing Lauren's praises and saying she did this, she did that. And like clockwork, to piggyback off of that, we don't need you to piggyback off of anything, Orion. And it's like, we appreciate, there is no we. Every single time he does this in a group setting, why? It's like a Pavlovian response now. Anyone say anything about Lauren, he feels like, to piggyback off of that, we are so... I'm so sorry, guys. I just really, really dislike Orion. Like, he's just an asshole.
I just like him, but I don't think to your level.
Yeah, that is annoying.
So, I Lauren says to his, like, oh my gosh, you were so great. She's like, well, that's interesting because I sent a text that didn't require a response, and then you responded a week later. And she cited this as an example of his lack of engagement. This was not, to me, a good move for Lauren. He says that her text message was psychoanalyzing and projection. She's not pleased about that. They engage in nonsense. Orion throws in there that she can't be that sad because she's dating. Then they somewhat agree that they don't want to talk. And I was just like, I felt like Lauren like jumped in like to an argument that she really did not need to engage in.
Agreed. Like, I really wish that she had ignored him, but honestly, I get it. Like, she's done her best, and this, he's aggravating. I think he poked and poked with his little snide childish comments that she just kind of snapped.
Okay, fair enough, but I don't care to watch two people like just rehash nonsense. So Emily decides to like cut her, you know, put herself in and talks about how the guys didn't come in ready and the women did. And Austin is like, well, I did my best. And Emily says, well, the men did this and the women did that. Then we go back to Lauren and Orion, and because Orion made this throwaway comment, like, I knew I was done on day two. And she's, okay, on this part, I was like, I'm very glad Lauren interjected here. Because she's just like, if you were done on day two, she had a specific example of things that would very much suggest that you were not done on days 3, 4, 5, 6. She just kept up. And these are all things that we remember watching, so I'll give her that. I'm glad she called him out on this. Yeah. Orion apologizes and he's sorry if he misled her And that's an insurance apology because he does a blanket apology. Like, I'm sorry for everything that you could possibly ever be mad at. I'm sorry for all of it. So Austin says they all want the best for each other. He says something about rebounding as a group. I'm like, you people are never going to be in the same room again if there's not a camera present. And Emily says that the evening was productive and everyone feels more clear. They do?
I had two questions after their whole whatever just happened that we just watched. How were they able to edit out the kiss from this season? Because I would think the minute Emily said, oh, it seems like the guys came with this and the girls came with that, that would be a time to bring it up. I mean, again, I don't think Austin would say it, but that's something Orion, I can see him doing. But I just, in general, is it that it never came up at all? Or do you think they edited it out? And I'm just like, that is such a huge thing to keep out from the show.
Yeah, but I think, well, I don't know. Because I'm wondering who all knew. I know at least Cameron and Brennan knew. So I'm like, did Austin know at that time? Did Orion know at that time?
I think they all talk.
So they chose not to bring it up, or they edited it out.
It's interesting. And then my other question was like, were they supposed to play a game? Because it wasn't until the end that I noticed that they were all holding red and green flags.
I thought those were like something talking like flags, like this is your chance to talk or something. I didn't know.
Because I was like, this is not a group that should have red flags and green flags. Like, I can't trust them with that. But yeah.
So Michael meets up with his friend Sam. It's confusing because there's a full bottle of tequila that's never opened on the table. Michael makes a thing about how he saw a bottle of, like not a bottle, a cup of water poured, thought it was tequila, was like, what is going on here? But he says that he feels confident and good, and the positive feelings are stronger, but he has fear and uncertainty and discomfort. And she's positive and she's an optimist, and that would propel their marriage forward after D-Day. So Sam asked, like, what would they do if it was right now? And this man doesn't know. It's like 3 days away. Sam is very surprised. He's like, I thought you would be all in on this. He said it doesn't strike him as fearful. He says that Michael seems scared, basically. And Michael says it's a different kind of fear. And it's just a lot of talking.
Mm-hmm.
Progress and feeling something, something. Trusting yourself, Sammy says. Anyway, don't know what else to say about that conversation.
Yeah, I felt like he was dancing around circles on what the real reason was. And this is a pet peeve of mine, but I'm about to do it. I hate being basic and I hate when people reduce things to this. But I just find that sometimes it could just be coincidence. Some of these mind changes occur after people have had sex.
So you think that they had sex and this is what?
Like, I don't understand. I want to give Michael the benefit of the doubt. I'm not saying that. It's just coincidental. Because I don't know. I'm trying to rack my brain on what the shift was. This man was all in. This man was everything. I put just as much weight into it as much as the foster kids and the animals and the farm and the whatever. I'm not saying it's just that, but it's just always so coincidental that when you watch these shows, a lot of the times the shift usually happens, again, coincidentally, after they've had sex. So that was a thought that I had. Like, I'm not taking that off the table. Like, is that a reason? Who knows? But I mean, I don't know. He said he's very vanilla sex, so I don't know how. I don't think it was bad, so I don't know. This is just me reaching, wondering what the reason was. But the only other thought about this conversation that I had was Michael said that his friend Sam is the only friend that he has that is married. And this could be because Michael is a transplant. I can't remember how long he's been in Denver. But I did find it surprising that at his age, I think Michael's what, 39, 40? That this is the only married friend that he has.
Well, I also was like, wasn't this a different friend than the one that was at the party that you, the pizza party you guys had, and that friend was married? So I didn't really get that.
Pay for friends. But yeah, that was confusing.
So Becca has a conversation with her friend about seeing Austin. Any thoughts on that?
No. Honestly, we can skip over.
Moving along. Michael and Chloe says that she got them this like cabin to go on a retreat. So they go outside. It's got beautiful views. They sit down. They have a conversation. This is Michael telling her that he's going to say no. I don't know how else to process this conversation. There's a lot of talking around things, and there's not a lot of talk of the future. And basically, yeah, it seems like this is where he sets her up to let her know that he's going to say no.
Mm-hmm.
And she says nice things to him. Whatever D-Day holds for us, she's grateful and thanks for making it fun. This is a breakup conversation.
Yeah, I thought she was going to say she was falling in love with him. I was like, don't do it. He doesn't want to find a house with you.
So, next up, Becca and all the girls, minus Chloe, do a boudoir shoot. And they're sitting down in their lingerie. They talk first about the parts of their bodies they like and the parts they don't like. And then they take pictures. And Becca, you know, I hope Becca gets lots of business out of being on the show, because we've seen her take great pictures of children. And the boudoir shoots were really nice. I think she did a great job with everybody. I thought everybody looked amazing. Lauren had a really cool one that I thought with her hair. Like, I hope Becca gets business out of this, because she ain't getting nothing else.
You said you hope she gets businesses. I was like, I hope they compensated her for her services. Like, Maps better, Kinetic better have paid her for taking the pictures for the girls.
So next thing we know, Chloe and Michael are conversing in their kitchen. And I was like, how long was their retreat? Was it a day? Was it overnight? What?
Oh, it was just for dinner, right? It wasn't like they were staying over or anything. It was just a nice place to the view. That's all.
Okay. All right, guys, we'll be right back.
All right, and we are back, and it is decision day. The experts do what they usually do, discuss the couple's relationship, and he says he hopes that they get it together. Michael does the usual reminiscing, says how caring she is. He says that Chloe is the best partner possible, but he doesn't know if he's in an emotional place to continue building this marriage. Again, what the hell does that mean? So they walk in to meet the experts. Ironically, Chloe is wearing pink. There's been a lot fabulous. Of She does. She looks really, really nice. And it's just funny because there's just a lot of speculation on the whole pink thing on after party. Which does continue. We are going to cover after parties, so check out the episode on Patreon. And, of course, Michael showed up in shorts because it is Michael. But it's not, like, casual shorts. He has, like, a nice jacket on and all. And Pascal makes a comment and was like, of course you would do that, that he doesn't have the legs for it. And Michael was like, I don't either. I'm just doing it anyways. So they say all these nice things about each other. And Chloe says it's funny that how when his walls came down, then the fear came in, and suddenly he was overwhelmed with the idea of marriage. I think this is the first thing that I understood that they were saying. And it reminded me of something you said, Aid. I think when Dr. Pia called them out and you said something about it's good for them to be challenged, like to be real with each other. Am I making this up?
Sounds right.
That you liked that it happened. Oh, you liked that Michael was kind of hesitant or whatever, because it means like they're actually facing or whatever. So I think maybe they did themselves a disservice, and they talk a little bit about that. He said he has been clear that it has been more than he was expecting. Again, very hard to digest as a viewer, because we spent all of the beginning of Michael telling us all these things about how he's ready, how he's willing to give it a second chance. Someone who wasn't ready wouldn't do this again a second time to take that risk. And it wasn't like he was giving a shitty partner. He was actually giving a partner that he gets along with. So Chloe says that
I am convinced there is something about Chloe that this man does not like, and he's too classy to say it.
Okay. So Chloe says she thinks that if he doesn't want to be married, it's because of her. She says that she has had seeds of doubt, but she didn't water them. She says she's an all-in, an all-out kind of person, and she needs a partner that's the same. And he says that he just wants to be in a comfortable place. Pastor Cal says we can overanalyze, and it's a paralysis of analysis. Chloe's like, oh, that's a good way to put it. Dr. Pia asked him a question, and Michael is answering. It's about Chloe, and she says, Michael, do you notice that every time you talk about Chloe, you're glowing? He's like, you know, now that you point it out, like, yes, I see it. But if this man has a reason, he's probably like, what are you seeing? Because I know in my heart, XYZ is off. So thanks, but no thanks. Chloe said she made a promise to him that she would not make a decision until she is sitting in front of him. And she is glad that she did because she feels differently and she wants to keep going. It just sounds like they had a conversation. To say no, and she's just like, fuck that, I'm taking a chance. And she said yes. Michael was like, what?
I think she knew that he was going to say no.
Yeah.
And she's like, and I think, I'm just gonna stand in my truth. I want to be with you.
Yeah. So I think she knew, and I think they talked about it. But Michael smiles and says that he came into this leaning heavily on her. And he feels that in this moment, he needs to lean into his compass on the ability to work in a marriage. And he feels like he can't do that to the degree that he will be comfortable with and that she deserves. And he hopes that she understands. And Chloe is just like, I understand. Pastor Cal has like a memeable look on his face. Like he's so confused. Chloe says, like, I think the world of you and I will think the world of you forever. Like, you are a good man. And Pastor Cal is like, I'm so disappointed because I see so much in you guys, which holds and means nothing because we could be watching the most dysfunctional couples and these experts are like, you guys have so much potential. So, whatever.
It was just because they don't hate each other.
Yeah.
We've never even seen them argue. They just have these very calm conversations. So, if Pastor Cal is like us, he's looking at them like, I don't understand. What's the problem? What's the problem?
Dr. Pepper is crying. Michael says that he feels sad that her yes made him realize that he's not that person that could say yes. Michael says he feels sad, but it was the right choice for him. They get up, they kiss, and they hug. And Chloe says she's not surprised that he said no. He's not ready to give her everything she needs, and she doesn't want to waste time building a relationship that wouldn't give her what she needs. So why did you say yes? But okay. Honestly, that was it. And then we get a preview of the reunion. And it looked really spicy. And they were coming for Chloe. And Chloe is walking off set and said she's not standing for this bullshit. And there we have to wait another week. Because I don't know what this tell-all is next week. But we will be covering it, though, guys. So, you know. I heard that there's some new reveals that we haven't heard before. And then watching Bennett say something about tits and ass. And I'm like, what is happening? He sounds unhinged. So, you know, we'll see what we get out of that.
I like that they bring back such a diversity of people. I'll even say we haven't heard from Jamie and Doug in a bit. But back to the show. It's just, the real show was on After Party, you guys. Like, check it out on our Patreon. All the fireworks were there. Nothing happened this episode.
Yeah. Like we said from the beginning, it's been two shows all season. We hope they rectify that. Or maybe it's intentional so we watch After Party. I don't know. The production just needs to kind of, you know, tweak things up a little bit. And I'm hoping that they got that from the long break that they had. Because, you know, Nashville wasn't so hot either. So maybe hopefully they went back to the basics for Chicago. But, you know, I think like we're bound to saying that every season now. So because people who saw the new couples are like, oh, man, I didn't watch this season, but I think I might be back. So
this is my just my opinion. I saw something that was like, fire the experts. I don't think the experts did bad this season. I think they picked people who matched on paper, who said what they wanted, and they gave them what they wanted. I think it's more of a failure of the couples either to like each other or to try harder.
Yeah. And I will say this, and I'm saying this so I will be held accountable. I will be watching the matchmaking special next season.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, if Tane does, I guess I do, too.
Yes, I have to see the origin of everything because, like, this conversation we're having, I kind of feel like I can't add to it because I don't know what happened, because all I want to say is, how the hell did Brennan make it? Like, I just want to know. So this time, I will be watching the matchmaking, so no one can come out and say, well, if you watch the matchmaking, you would know that. Dun, dun, dun.
Tane, who has your bouquet for this week?
I was going to go the easy route. No, my bouquet goes to Lauren. Anyone who can dress down Orion and then make him just tap out because he really thought that he could go against a fired up black woman, like, you must be insane. Who has been gracious to you and has been giving you the cordial, what is the right grammar? Cordiality, whatever, that has just been gracious to you, and you just go out there and you want to call around and say, oh, who's counting? Oh, you've been keeping track? Like, I just thought that was so disrespectful. Again, you were hurt. You made a choice. You wanted to get a divorce. She gave you the divorce. You started hounding her for a friendship. And then you weren't following up. Why are you trying to go on her? Like, almost like he thought he was trying to embarrass her. And that just irritated the hell out of me. So for her to stand up for herself, I know I said, like, I wish she kept quiet. But seeing what she did, it's okay. I'm glad that she stood up and she dressed him down. Who has yours?
I'm going to go ahead and give my bouquet to Chloe. Okay. Chloe tried hard all season. She pushed through. She made a commitment and she said yes. And I think she deserves some credit for saying yes, knowing full well this man was going to say no. I don't think it was a face thing. I think it was a true expression of, like, I actually think that we're good together and we should try harder. So I'm going to give it to her for saying yes.
Okay.
Who has your burnt ashes?
No surprise here. My burnt ashes for this episode and for the entire season is Orion. Who has yours?
I'm going to give my burnt ashes, just a little mini burnt ashes, to Lauren. For just saying one thing that I was like, don't say that. She's the one who chose to bring up that she sent Orion a text message she didn't have to respond to and then decided to say, and then he waited 7 days to get back to me to further prove her point about how flaky he is. But if you're done, just be done. I don't know why she brought that up. I don't know why she brought that up. And I do think it led to, like, her and Orion having the same freaking argument they've had 10 different times that I don't care to watch anymore. And I'm sorry, Lauren, that you're getting my burnt ashes just for that one sentence, really.
All right. So that's it for the regular season?
Which is crazy. How could we go out like this?
Well, they're supposed to be like a where are they now? Maybe that's the real ending.
Okay. So let's hope. Otherwise, this was the real ending and it just wasn't. Yeah. So you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at AltarCallMAFS. That's AltarCallMAFS. Let us know what you think of the season. And I look forward to hearing your thoughts on the tell-all.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting. Make sure you're subscribed, especially as the season is winding down, so you are up to date on any new episodes. Please give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, and we will see you later on in the week for the couple sell-all. Bye, guys.
Bye.